I love that show. So my husband calls me this morning. I said, what were you doing up at midnight? Because we have this this camera that goes out our front door, and it alarms my phone if somebody's at our front door. And so I got these, I checked it this morning. There's these alarms, and I see my husband going in and out the front door. He was looking for the cat. He said he was binge-watching When Calls the Heart. Because he was bored. So anyway, there's a character on that show by the name of Henry Gowan. You guys familiar with him? He's one of those characters that you love to hate. And, well, hate might be a strong word. Well, it might not be a strong word. He's the owner of a mine in town. And this is set back in the, what is it, 1800s or early 1900s? 1800s. And he's the owner of a mine in town. He's self-righteous, pompous. He's out to make himself a lot of money, and at whoever's expense, it doesn't matter. And he does what he wants. So he owned the mine. Half the men in town, at least, were killed in a mining accident. So there's a lot of widows in town now, and he's the mine owner. So this really, what it came down to is safety, and what it came down to is his fault. Then there's another character. And who's your favorite character on the show? Crickets? Elizabeth? Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about Abigail. Elizabeth is the star of the show, and she's awesome. And Abigail is her dear friend. And Abigail is the one who helps everyone in town. She sees the good in Henry when nobody else sees the good in Henry. She tries to bring him back into the community when everybody else wants to push Henry off a cliff. And she takes care of everyone. She owns the little restaurant in town, and she's just a very neat lady. And it makes you want to... She makes you want to just take care of her, make sure that she has everything that she needs. So as the series progresses, Henry shows himself to be the wolf that he is, show after show after show. I have watched a lot of these. And although he was directly responsible for the death of her husband, and she has the opportunity to destroy him time and time again, she never does. She doesn't reach out and take that opportunity. She doesn't relish in seeing her enemy. She doesn't view him as an enemy, you know, doing badly. She wants to bring him up. Do any of you guys have friends like that who just seek to bring everyone up instead of put people down? I had a sister like that. She was incredible. So in many ways in the series, as it progresses, Henry gets humbled in one way or another. He's not a humble man, but he's being humbled. So Abigail, on the other hand, she chooses to be a humble person. But Henry gets humbled time and time again. And so that's how, if you guys have a chance, I think it's, what, Amazon? It's an Amazon series. It's, yeah. Is it Netflix? Okay. So she looks for, it's called When Calls the Heart. It's completely clean and wholesome. You can watch it with the whole family. So have you ever had a situation in your life where you were tempted to take your destiny into your own hands? Yeah, we all have those situations. So in session one, what did we learn? Does anyone, what was the main thing you guys learned out of session one? Anyone, just holler it. Accept your circumstances, okay? And how about when he was talking about digging deep to get to what?
Foundation.
Foundation, because the foundation, what you build on is extremely important. It's all going to fall if you don't have the right foundation. And how about, here's the next one. What did you learn this morning from Debbie? Three things.
Trust, wait, obey.
Trust,
wait, and obey.
What? So, and it's two. If she hadn't have said that, I might not have gotten it, but that was awesome. Two. I'm number two. He's number one. Trust, wait, obey. So in this session, I want to discuss the importance of having an attitude of humility. So that'll be the third thing you learn. You'll learn obedience tomorrow morning, but humility tonight. And life's not about you. And my life's not about me. I know. Lupe, I'm sorry. it's about glorifying God through everything that we say, everything that we do, our friendships, the movies that we watch, the things that we do. It's about glorifying him. And then showing others who are on the wrong path the right path. Not beating them until they get on it. We're to demonstrate this. He calls us to make disciples. So a couple of weeks ago, I put a post on Facebook, and several hundred of my friends, I asked them to use three words in their opinion that described Esther. And I want to just share with you guys the double-digit numbers. There was one that was huge above anything else. Any of you guys have a guess? Huh? Oh, that was good. That wasn't number one. Brave. Who said brave? That was number one. Brave and courageous. I mean, it doubled any other one. Number two was obedient. Number three was faithful. Number four was beautiful. I think it was mostly women who were posting. And then although she was each of these things, humble didn't even make it to the double digits. It barely made it in the single digits. So after reading the story of Esther over and over, to tell you the truth, I think brave and courageous probably would have been my first choice too, but humble might not have made it on my list either. And then when Kelly had asked to talk about that part of it, I'm like, I guess she was. So you already know the history from this morning. I'm just going to briefly recap some of it. Mordecai, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, very likely from the line of Saul, King Saul, so royal blood. They were taken captive by the Babylonians and then on to the Medes and Persians. It's just one kingdom captured another kingdom, took over another kingdom. And pretty soon, along came a king who told the Jews that they can go back to Jerusalem if they want to. And some of them did, but Jerusalem was like the Wild West. In our day, it was wild. Things could have happened on the way there. Bandits. There were kings that were bringing armies against the people who were trying to rebuild in Jerusalem. And so a lot of them chose to stay. In fact, everything that I read is most of them chose to stay. And think about it. If you had children, your children never even knew that other place that you lived. So this was their home. Maybe they had businesses. Maybe it doesn't say this, but maybe they had businesses. Maybe they just got into the lifestyle that they were in, and it's very tough to just pick up everything and move your family out to the Wild West. So, or the Wild East. Anyway, she was taken from the comfort of her own home into the king's palace, Esther was. And her Jewish given name was Hadassah, and her Babylonian name was Esther. Her accommodations could have been worse. Does anyone know what Persia was famous for back then? No? Not carpets. I knew you were going to say that when I was looking at your face. She's going to say carpet. Perfumes, ritualistic baths, plucking of the eyebrows. If you guys want to know where that came from, painting of the hands and feet with henna. They would do henna. But they had a beautifying paste that would lighten your skin, that would take any blemishes out. And so this was a year-long treatment that Debbie was telling you guys about this morning. They would just pamper them for a year. And I know that I would like a year at a spa, but if you think about the way that she got it, I mean, yeah, you might not want it. So like any good parent, Mordecai, her cousin that raised her because she lost her parents when she was young, he probably taught her, you know, to be not live in excess, and yet she gets dumped into this situation where she has complete excess. She's drowning in it at this point. And he probably taught her to care for others, and now she has seven women caring for her every need. She didn't have to do anything. What do you do in that situation? Do you embrace it and think, I deserve this. I've had a hard life. I lost my parents when I was young. I don't have a land to go back to. She didn't do that. She was given a choice in this, and I'm sure that she had plans for her life, just like her cousin had plans for her life. It would have been that she was going to grow up and get married. I don't even know if falling in love was an option back then, maybe. And she was going to grow up and get married and have children, serve the Lord. By the way, fun fact, do you guys know that Esther is the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention the name of God, Jesus, or Messiah? It's the only book in the Bible. And I learned that from Beth Moore series. So, and then I had to read it to make sure, and it's sure enough. But God is in the book. Whether or not his name is in there, God is in the book. So she wasn't given a choice. She was taken out of her home by strangers, taken to a palace that literally changed the trajectory of the rest of her life. It's not like if she didn't win this beauty contest, she gets to come back home and get married and go have children and all of that. No, she would have been useless in that sense in these days. She would have gone to live with however many other girlfriends the king had for the rest of her life as a widow, unless he called for her for another night. It wasn't the life she chose. It was like the life chose her. Have you guys ever been in a situation like that, saying, you got to be kidding, this is not my life? Maybe she was thinking, when is enough enough? So how many people have had curveballs thrown at them in their lifetime? Maybe you guys, yeah. I think just about everyone, if you think about it, if you sit there and think about it long enough, maybe you're a child who lost a parent, or a parent who lost a child, or maybe your children didn't turn out how you expected them to turn out. Maybe they're doing things that you had prayed and prayed and prayed that they wouldn't do, and you did everything right when they were children, did everything you were supposed to, but they're not doing that now. Maybe a lost job, a lost love, a lost home, lost money, whatever it is. And sometimes you say, that's not fair, Lord, that's too much. What if you stopped and thought about it for a minute, what would be the point where you said, Lord, that's too much? You can have everything else, but not that. So maybe you feel like God wasn't listening in that situation, or Esther could have been distraught about her situation, being completely ripped off of parents, first of all, raised by her cousin, and then ripped out of the only home that she knew. This was going to either determine if she would be queen, where she would probably have to worry the rest of her life, can she hang on to that, given how the last queen was just banished from the kingdom, or if she would spend the rest of her life like a widow. I would be distraught by this myself. I would probably say, this is your plan? I hate this plan. You know, I've done that a time or two in my life. So the Bible is kind of silent as to what Esther thought or felt in that situation. But her actions, how many of you guys know that your actions can be different from the way you're thinking or you're feeling? Your actions are a choice to do the right thing, to serve the Lord in the right way, to respond in the correct way. In verse 9 of chapter 2, it says she pleased Haggai and found favor with him. And as a result, she was given preferential treatment. It doesn't say how she pleased him. It might have been that she just had the attitude and the demeanor of someone who wasn't angry to be there. She was probably just very sweet. He gave her preferential treatment. She not only found favor with him who watched over her, she found favor with her peers as well. How many times do you find that, where your peers aren't just all jealous of you? Instead, you're friends with them all. Like, what, Snow White is friends with everyone in the forest. So she found favor with the king too. What do you think caused everyone to look upon her favorably? What was it about Esther, have you guys read through the story? Have we? Okay. What was it about Esther that you think caused her to find favor with all of those people? There you go. She knew it wasn't about her. She said she probably made lemonade out of lemons. She knew it wasn't about her. She got it. She trusted her life to God. She trusted the outcome to God, and she just went with it. I'm a military wife, and I'm moving all the time, and I have such a hard time just going with it. I'm like, what do you mean we're going out to 29 Palms? And then we get out there. I think I remember what it might have been. And then my husband got sent to an island for 14 months. I'm like, thanks, Lord. I'm in the desert. But it was amazing. It was amazing with the community out there. Humility, when I looked it up, this is just your average dictionary definition, a modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance or rank, so station in life. I once heard it said, and I'm not sure where, but I'm sure you'll recognize it. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. So we tend to relate everything back to us. Say it again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You always have a choice to make, to lay down your pride and pick up humility. Always, in just about everything that you do. There's little ways that we can drop hints on our education or things we've done or how much money we have or what kind of car we drive or where we live. There's all kinds of little ways to drop hints and be fake humble. Or what is that called? There's a guy who writes, he's a pastor, he writes hysterical books. One of them's called The End of Me. And in his book, the whole premise is when you reach the end of yourself, that's where you will find Jesus. And so he is off on the Facebook post. The humble brag is what he calls it. So if you guys have a chance to read that book, it's an easy read and it's really good. So how did Esther display humility in her situation? She trusted God. And how was that evident? It was evident through her actions. So I also have read that courage is not the absence of fear. And I'm not going to remember the second part. It's going through with it despite your fear. So it's not being afraid. Courage isn't someone who's not afraid. It's someone who goes through and does it despite their fear. And they fight that, which is what it takes to get up in front of people and talk, by the way. So number one, what Esther did, she submitted to Haggai. And he was the guy in charge of the women, like we learned this morning. So she had favor with him. She provided her with extra treatments, cosmetics, 7 women to take care of her, the best place in the palace. So she definitely had favor. But did she boast in it? Did she rub it into the other women? No. She just went with it. I mean, another humble brag would be to say, oh, no, it's just the Lord. It's just the Lord. She didn't do that. She submitted to God. She submitted to God. Number two, she deferred to Haggai. As a woman who knew what she felt best in, she probably could have said, I'm going to look good in this, and I'm going to wear this, and I know how I look good and what I feel confident in when I go to see the king. I mean, after all, she's got one shot at this. But she was wise, and she knew that he knew the king's preferences. And she allowed him to choose for her what she got to take. They got to take anything that they wanted to go into the king for their one night. And she allowed this man to choose for her. So she deferred to him. In the same way, we need to defer to God and his word. We might think that we know what's best for our lives and what we need to do in a given situation, but we need to defer to what the word of God says. This young generation that is coming up in the military right now, lots of broken homes, broken families, almost like they ran away and joined the circus, but they ran away and joined the Marine Corps and the Navy. And they're very into the, I don't want to be fake. I want to be real. What I feel is real. I want to love this person or love that person or do this thing or do that thing. If I want to do drugs or, you know, whatever it is. They don't defer to God or his word. They defer to their feelings or what feels real to them. And they say that doing anything else would make them fake people. But it makes us obedient to the Lord. Number three, she had an attitude. I put attitude of gratitude so I would remember it, but she had an attitude of joy. I guarantee it, because how many of you guys like to be around Debbie Downer? Not you. A Debbie Downer. Does anyone like to be around the person who constantly complains about their situation in life and constantly complains about their children and their work and their husband? And I don't mean the complaint here and there. I mean someone who does nothing but that. I guarantee you that people loved and adored Esther. One of the reasons was she was joyful. She had God. Rather than despair, she chose to trust God and his plan. Rather than being angry that her life did not turn out like she wanted it to, she chose to trust God and his plan for her. She made the choice to lay down her pride and pick up humility. So in the same way, we are to have an attitude of joy. In our situation, this doesn't mean you're happy, by the way. Joy and happiness are two very different things. Our joy is found in the Lord. So many times when we focused our energy on what's happened in the past, we miss what God has said to us. How many of you guys, how many of you guys have heard of someone by the name of Priscilla Shire? She's an awesome woman of God, an awesome Bible teacher, if you ever get the chance to hear her speak. She said that what causes us to miss the next thing God has for us is the last thing God had for us, because we stick right there and think it has to look like this to be God. It's not God if it doesn't look like this. Is that me? Am I doing that? It's my hair. So we want to exchange our history for someone else's. And there are times when I want to exchange the history in my life just because I'm so ashamed of the things that I did before I came to know Christ. But you know what? If I didn't have that history, I'm not going to have the future that I have now. So God's plan for us is to take our history in whatever form it was in, and he turns it into our destiny that he wrote out before the foundations of the earth, the Bible said. He wrote his plan for us way back before he even created the earth. And he knew what we were going to do. He knew what I was going to do when I was 14, 15, 16. There was like 10 years. He knew. But he planned all of that, and he took it in and turned it for good and into my destiny. And he'll do the same thing for you. And he's doing the same thing in Esther's life. We get to see it firsthand here. So we know, God bless you, we know that her cousin loved her. He paced for 9 months to a year. He paced the whole time outside the door, inquiring about her, trying to get word to her, even after she became queen. She pleased Haggai, found favor with him. She found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. And then she found favor in the king, with the king. He showed her more kindness than anyone. It says he loved her more than anyone. He used her to literally save her people. What do you know, life, it wasn't about her. He used her to save a nation of people. How many million did you say, Debbie? Stayed? 2 million people. So sometimes we can fight our way to the top, only top of a mountain we can climb and do everything in our power to get to the top of that mountain. And then we realize that was the mountain that he wanted us to climb because we did it in our own strength. Let me tell you guys a story. I don't know how many people have me on Facebook, but last week I went shopping on base, and my husband is stationed at 32nd Street, so that's along the coastline there. We go by there every day when he drops me at work downtown, and then he just makes like a 1.5-mile trek backwards and goes to work, and then picks me up afterward. So I went to base to go grocery shopping, and I took my vehicle. I have had for years, I've had GPS, but now I have a vehicle that doesn't have GPS. So I hopped back on the freeway. I'm headed home, and I'm looking for the 805. And I've never also lived south of downtown San Diego. This is my first time. We moved to Eastlake, Chula Vista. And I notice these exits become to look very unfamiliar. And then I see Mexico. And I'm like going from lane one all the way over, not that quick. I didn't kill anyone. And I had one exit left before. And I didn't have my passport with me. That would have been disastrous. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? And I get on Google Maps and I hopped on the 5 instead of the 15, and that's what I did wrong. So I was on the wrong freeway. So just like the mountain, wouldn't it be horrible to get so far down the road? I mean, you start out in the same spot, and you just get on one little wrong freeway. These things are one block apart, people. I got on one block apart, and I'm 20 miles away. So it's normal to run everything through the me filter. when God's talking to you, this is how you learn. When you're learning the Word of God, this is why people tell stories, because it's easy to relate to the story. Some of you guys relate to one story. Some of you guys relate to another story. And you run that through your filter, and that's how you learn. But if we submit ourselves to God and His plan for our life, our outcome is going to be way better than our plan. Remember when I said, this is the plan? I hate that plan. If I would have known far down the road what God's plan was for me. And this requires walking in faith, not our sight. We know the precepts of God. We know that He loves us. We know that He's holy. These things don't change. We know that He wants only good for us. He doesn't want bad for us. He allows things into our life that are going to shape us and mold us and turn us into the person He wants us to be. Our past is part of who we are, but it doesn't determine our future. God does. We need to be grateful when He's working out His plan in our life. As hard as it is, you can choose joy in all of these situations. You don't have to choose to be happy, but you can choose joy. Our joy is found in the Lord. Read Philippians, it is the joyful book of the Bible. Let's trust God knows what's best for us and do it in humility. We can lay down our pride in every situation and pick up humility. The Bible is full of humble people who were lifted for a wonderful purpose in life because that was their destiny. King David comes to mind right off the top of my head. Rahab, look at her past. She had an awesome destiny. Have you guys thought about what your destiny will be? Esther was destined to wear the crown. She was going to wear the crown. That crown was in her destiny. The Lord wrote it in from the very beginning. She can get there kicking and screaming, but she chose joy. So when people talk about you at the end of your life, have you ever been to a funeral where people talk disparaging about people? I've never been to one like that. I hear about them from time to time. But are you going to be the one that they say that she pulled herself up by her bootstraps out of where she had been and she made something of herself? She was such a success in life. Are you going to climb the ladder of life? Or are they going to say about you that you walked humbly before God and you trusted Him for your future? D.L. Moody, great theologian, he said one time, God sends no one away empty except the one who is full of themselves. So you guys have a choice to make tonight. You have a choice to make every day. Are you going to lay down your pride and pick up humility? And I hope that as you guys go through your week and your month and your year, that you'll remember that when different situations present themselves to you. Someone's going to say something hateful to you. Someone will say something about you. Your kids will talk back to you. God's going to defend you in all of those cases. He's in charge of your destiny. You don't have to worry about your history. And just enjoy the ride. Things that are terrible that come into your life, turn them over to Him. I speak from experience. If you turn them over to Him, they don't have to destroy you. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the time tonight, what You have taught us in the Word about humility, about real humility, not fake humility. Lord, we ask that You would cause it to sink in, and like You say in Your Word, that You would cause Your Word to sink deep into our hearts so that we don't sin against You. Help us to turn with our back to our past, Lord, and our face to our future. Help us to accept what You bring into our lives and ask You, Lord, what can I learn from this? What are You trying to teach me? How do You want me to respond? And open our hearts to what Kelly has to teach us tomorrow morning about obedience, the last step in this process. We praise you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.